So actually, the team that went to Nepal was actually about 35 people from different parts of the world. And these are some of the guys that came from the UK and part of the UK team. They're not all from Birmingham, so they're from different parts. Why don't you guys, can you just briefly introduce, say hello, your name, and also what city you're from? Not where you're from, but what city you guys are from, yeah?
Hi, I'm Edwina. I'm from Birmingham.
Hello, I'm Herman. I'm from Bristol.
Yeah. It's a bit rude to say yeah and then not make some comments. Yeah, Bristol.
Yay.
I'm Sharon from Nottingham.
Woo.
I'm Paling from London.
I'm Isabella from here.
Hey, there you go. Lots of pity cheering. That's cool. That's how our church rolls. Edwina, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you guys did out there and just share a little bit about what happened on this trip to Nepal?
Yes, first of all, I think if anything, we just want to thank the church for just how you guys have been supporting, especially you. But and I think, you know, you guys know sort of the things that we've been going through there as well, you know, keeping us in prayer, helping with sort of the funding and everything as well. I think from BLI team, we're just really, really grateful for you guys and for the support that you've been giving us.
Well, I mean, we're really excited just because God just does such amazing work out there. So you guys were on Nepal for 10 days?
Yep. So it was, like you can see, it was from the 1st to the 10th of November. So I think we normally, if anything with this, normally we say it was a medical mission trip, but I think it was more than that. So we only did the medical clinics for the first 3 days, 3-4 days. And then after that, probably the last few days, we actually went separate ways and actually went to youth camps throughout the whole of sort of Kathmandu and the Kathmandu region. So I think also there was sort of a few days that we spent in an orphanage as well. And I think all this experience truly sort of really, I think if anything, we thought we're going to, well, people say you're going out there to serve them, but I think we came back really humbled, really challenged to really want to do more.
Yeah.
I think even just, you know, coming back within our own community as well.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Part of the challenge with Nepal out there is because they've been clamping down a little bit more on Christians. Mm-hmm. So you guys can do open evangelism, and so you guys had to just try to help out. And I guess one of the first things we'll start off with is we have some photos as well. So this is of you guys arriving. This is the just part of the team. So you guys might recognize this girl, Brenda. Oh, this laser doesn't work. Pew! And you guys, she met up from Malaysia. She was in our church as a student, and this is some of the rest of the team. And then this is Isabella. There she is, making a heart. I mean, something that's really cool about this was a lot of times when we look at these mission trips, it's like, I will say it tends to side on the younger demographic of the thing. Like, everyone's like, all right, I'll tell you the truth. This is what happens, okay? As people get older in the church, they always say this. Oh, we just let the young people do it. The young people can go on these missions trips. We're too old. We're not good for anything except for complaining. You just young people go.
Yeah.
So actually, it was really encouraging to see because, yeah, you guys had
Isabella
some...
Isabella and Brenda, basically.
Oh, I didn't want to name names.
It means everyone can do it.
They're all young.
They're actually very open with it. The first thing they do when they start sharing is, by the way, I'm this age. And everyone's just like, what?
Yeah. What? Oh, my gosh.
Anything, I think it's just a challenge to everyone in general that, you know, I think all of us can actually do it. If you know that you're challenged to do it, just go and do it.
Right, and I think that's really encouraging because you want to see that actually God can use, you know, any of you guys from whatever background, whatever age, to really be a blessing and also to be able to learn. There is no limit to be able to learn from God. And again, I think Yong Bong said this morning that he just wanted to see the Himalayas. No, sorry, that's not the only reason he went out there. But this is the only time they had a chance to see the Himalayas. Don't be mistaken, this is just Isabella. The Himalayas are back here. She's trying to block it. But we can clearly see they're larger.
You can take that mic, I'll put this one here.
Oh. Actually, talking about age, our UK group, we have more young people than mature people, but the group from Australia is the other way around. They have only a few young people, but most of them are mature people.
Oh,
so actually, the young people, they were a bit worried because the older people, so I watched them grow, And so they felt a bit uncomfortable thinking that they go with all these auntie and uncle. And then when they met us, they were so excited because, they met some young people.
It's true. When the immature people meet other immature people. Oh, I mean, the young people and the mature people meet together. So that's really nice. I don't want to point out which ones are older and younger because we all know, thanks to our genetic, we all look the same age. Relative to God's eternity, we're like...
I keep telling people, the Holy Spirit keep me look young.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was new skin. Anyways, right, so let's get on with this. And you guys, one of the first places you went was to this orphanage. And it was pretty encouraging. Oh, should I roll this video first? So this is Brenda, and this is a little picture of some of the crafts they're making, and also...
cutting out all these for the children to make a very nice hat here, as you can see. And you can open it like that. And you can feel all of your love.
So tell us a little bit. What's happening there? Like, is there a fire? Why are the kids running around? Does anyone of you guys want to share a little bit? Pei-Ling, over to you.
So that was the welcome service, and the kids had prepared like various dances and songs for us. But the first two songs that they prepared for us were in English, so there was nothing is impossible. And then they sang "This I Believe," and I think just prior to that service, we had kind of heard about everything that was going on in the orphanage. So the government kind of persecuting the orphanage, trying to shut it down, and forcibly sending I can't remember the number, but like over 150, I think, children back to their homes in the guise of like reconciling families, but really they were going back to really really broken places because the government weren't really happy with. The fact that the orphanage was growing and that it was kind of teaching bringing these children up in Christian values. And so this for me, and I think for a lot of the team, was like a very, very, it was a very heavy night because despite everything that was going on, like the way that these children sang, like nothing is impossible. Like they truly, truly felt that nothing was, like you could really feel that they truly thought that nothing was impossible and that they really believed when they sang these songs. And I mean, these songs are songs that we sing in my church. We sing them really often, but like, yeah, like especially "This I Believe." I've never had that song hit me like that. Like I just died. Like I was just on the floor crying.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, knowing a little bit about the orphanage, can you tell us a little bit more about what happened that first night when you guys arrived? Apparently, the orphanage was going to be... they were starting to clamp down a little bit more on the orphanage. Isabel, you want to tell us a little bit?
Yes. The orphanage is run by a Korean couple. They have been there for over 20 years. Because of the government crackdown, and they no longer allowed to stay in the orphanage that used to sort of live together with the children. They have to live outside of the campus, about 15-20 minutes drive away, and the government say to protect the children, so they sent in 24/7 guard to look after the kids, but actually they were there to watch over them and report back to the government whatever happened in the camp. So even this one, they don't call it a service; they call it a party. Even though it is more like, you know, worshiping God, but they call it a party so that the God, so I don't take too much meaning into it.
Right, it's because Nepal is trying to clamp down on Christians, actually, and Christianity. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the questions I feel, when we hear, like, oh, but they were sending the kids homes, isn't that a good thing, if the kids go home?
I think to the Korean couple, it's very sad for them, because some of the kids came as a baby. We talked about it this morning. One of the baby came very much premature, and it was a miracle that she survived, and a lot of kids, even though they were so-called sent home, is not because they actually had a home. Some of them, they don't have parents, they only have relatives. But because they have relatives, the government considers them to have home, so send them back. And a lot of the so-called family didn't really want them because they are not close relatives, and also they might not have the means to keep them. But the government, because they try to shut down this orphanage, so they tried as much as possible to make any excuse to send the kids home. So initially, there were over 500 kids, and by the time we visited them, it was only about 200-something kids. And it's very sad that they have in their hall, so like the area that we had our dinner, and there's boards for all the kids with the picture and the name. The kids that gone sent home, the picture have been taken down. And when you look at it, there's so many empty spaces. It's really disheartening. And so that couple is really struggling in seeing all these kids that they have nurtured for so many years got sent home.
Right, so this was started by a Korean missionary, and they've been out there for over 20 years and started with an orphanage. It's been quite a common thing for Christians when they go abroad to try to provide a service for the society that they're there, especially when there aren't services, especially in places where it's a little bit more higher levels of poverty or economic instability. And so it was obviously just part of an experience in Gobert, able to serve them and just be part of that orphanage for a little bit. I mean, here's a picture of them, I guess, praying together, and then here you guys are praying with them. And then this is, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening here?
So I think from the first night itself, the pastor just told us at the end of the service, you know, all of you just line up and just give them a hug. So first night we're just like, okay, yeah, it's fine. They're only realizing that these 250 kids are actually coming one by one, and then us sort of hugging them literally. But then the next day when the pastor was telling us, was obviously he was telling us of all these things that are happening and, you know, what's been going through. And then he said, you know, if ever you do hug them, just give them a really, really tight hug, like you're just going to break their ribs, because this then tells them that they are being loved. So I think the first night, most of us were just like, okay, let's just hug them. But I think by the second and third night, we knew sort of how much it meant to them. So we literally were just like, you know, hugging them as high as possible.
Yeah, one of the things that's, I think, very hard for us to understand if... I mean, even as Chinese, it's not like we get a lot of hugs from our parents in the first place. But one thing you realize, it's different for us who still have families. When you're an orphan or you don't know your mother and your father, or you've been taken away from your home, or you've been kicked out of your home because you're a, you know, whatever, you could be a girl or they just don't want you. That sense of family or that sense of belonging, although it's wonderful to be with other kids, there's still something special about being affirmed by someone older than you, to that kind of that loving embrace. And that's one of the things I think the Korean couple must really struggle with, because they know that actually there's been a lot of investment in them. And it's not that they don't want the kids to go back to families, it's that they actually don't know what's happening to the kids in a positive or negative way, and also you're kind of out of that situation. And here's Isabella, very maternal.
I was doing that. Some origami with the kids. I was making the heart, you know, that
heart that you can fill with all your love. Yeah, wonderful. And then, of course, there was a football match, and you guys lost, right? 2-1. Yeah. Did you let
but
them
actually,
win because they're kids?
Actually, it's no shame, because I was told that their team actually in their area. I couldn't catch the Korean pastor. His English not that good. So I thought, understand that there's in a region of 15 teams, their orphanage is the first. So they won the first prize. So even though our team lost 2-1, it's not a shame.
So in other words, they had pity on you. We will say we've seen some of you guys play. I will say, yeah, stick to basketball. Great. One of the other things. And this is. Tell us a little bit about. What's happening here.
So, which night was it?
It was the first night.
Yeah. So,
think after hearing all the stories, after hearing the sharing of the Korean pastor, so because we were so disheartened, everyone was just, we just thought we need to pray for this place. We need to, you know, there's nothing that we can do for them. So we just gather around that night. It was actually quite late already, so we were doing the debriefing, which we always do every night. And we just said, well, maybe we should just practice kneeling down, just pray to God, pray for his protection over these people, over these children. And yeah, there was actually one night that really touches our hearts, and you can just see everyone bowing before God and being so humble and asking for God, for him to be with them, for the providence, for protection over them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what else to say, but it's one
like
of the nights that that we will always remember.
It sounds like it's one of those moments where, even amongst, I guess there were 35 of you, but there was such a strong sense of unity in prayer, and that passion for that, where it's almost as if God is leading that time of prayer, both for the orphanage and at the same time, you know, the outpouring. Those are very precious times when you get to do that. As Christians, it's something that we don't think about a lot often. We just think about prayer meetings as something kind of boring that no one wants to go to, but you're forced to because you feel guilty. But actually, when there is something that is really God moving, it becomes this thing that becomes so memorable. Yeah,
and I think one of the pastors from the Australian team was sharing that, you know, if the more missions you do as well, you kind of feel like you're walking through the Bible. And I think, if anything, I think this kind of reminded us of, you know, how when Paul and sort of all these missionaries went out and were actually being persecuted. And I think when you get to that point where, because we were just like, you know, hearing the missionaries not being able to get their visas, you know, going potentially having to leave the countries, these kids, you're not knowing what the outcomes are going to be. I think all we just felt we could actually do for them, because there wasn't anything physical we could do for them, was then saying, you know, I think all we can actually do is just kneel before God, you know, as a team together, and really just pray for them. But also not for what we want, but I think really for what God actually wants to do through all this, because ultimately we know he still has control over all this.
That's really powerful, very encouraging. Moving on, one of the second things that you guys were doing was getting involved in putting together medical clinics and dental clinics, and this is the queue of people.
Yeah, so this was when they were being triaged as to, so in terms of medical clinic, because from the Australian team that had sort of the dental side of things, and also sort of an optometrist who was sort of was pairing glasses for people. So yeah, you can see that it's Pastor John who's the one who led the Australian team. And behind, he even got someone from Thailand to come all the way to Nepal as well, as a dentist as well. And then there was an optometrist who was actually also offering out free glasses to these people.
Wow.
So I think from the dental side of things, is because we know in those places, I think just even going to see a doctor, they have to actually pay for it. It's not like here where, you know, you've got NHS and you get everything for free. And what more, you know, dental services, you know, is something that they probably do take for granted. So then, like, you know, they're doing extractions, and then for those who had sort of like fairly good teeth as well, the kids, they will actually just apply fluoride treatment for them.
And that's a really practical benefit for them. But at the same time, when you guys were there, you're not allowed to, because in the previous one in the Philippines, they could just pray for them whenever they want, you know, just do whatever. But in Nepal, you're not allowed to do that. So. I mean, obviously, you're going as Christians. How did you deal with the, especially when you're not doctors and you're like, I just really want to pray for them, but I don't want to get arrested. Okay.
I'll start off first. But basically, I think, like you say, I think, you know, having heard sort of heard of Nepal, the Philippines trip, you know, and then how they actually could just, you know, pray, you know, before they see the doctor, they can have prayer, and then after, during, they get prayer. And here we were just like, oh. We cannot really do it, and that especially, you know, knowing that sort of with the Hindus as well, if you do it, you can actually go to jail for the next 5 years. We were just like, not really sure about that. There were times though where I think sort of, you know, I think when we practice discernment and we felt, oh, you know, if you ask them, or sometimes they actually come and tell you, they do in Christians, they do greet sort of saying Jai Masi, which means victory in Christ. So when they do that, you kind of know that these are actually Christians. So with that, then you kind of can have a bit more conversations with them. And I think for me as well, I think, like I said, I was like, what can I do for these people? Because, you know, there is so much limited things that you actually can offer them. And sometimes you're just like, well, maybe you just really need to get to know God. But I think what the team then told me was, you know, if you can't actually, you know, pray for them, what you can do is just do a ninja prayer. So if you're going to examine them, just pray for them that way. When you listen to their chest, just pray for them. And then if you see the next, I think it's the next slide, the slide after. So this was Sharon in action, doing a physio clinic, and she had a... She had another physiotherapist with her who has been so,
yeah, because the first day we were doing medical clinic in a deaf school, and then I was just doing sterilizing for the dentist, and then the next day they were like, oh, do you want to do a physio clinic? Actually, we need you there because we want to do ninja prayers. So I was like, huh? What do you mean? So basically, I wasn't doing it on my own. I was doing it with Yang. So the idea was like, they thought they were coming to do physio, but actually, whilst we were laying hands on them, we were actually praying for them because we can't pray in public. So I was actually like the bait, basically.
So I wasn't the vessel.
So I wasn't actually...
I think it's the word. No. So they were coming there, you're trying to give some physio, and then while that's happening... Yang Bong is giving physio on their heads.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, he was so real though. He looks like a physio. He was like, what sort of pain have you got? What's your problem? And then
that's
like,
that's his normal prayer diagnostic questions.
Yeah, so
where does it hurt?
I was actually
basically, I'm gonna lay hands on that and pray for healing over you.
So I wasn't actually the person that's speaking to the patients. He was the one doing all of the speaking, and he was like asking them this and that. I was like, okay, I'll just So I was actually just there. Well, I was trying to do proper physio.
Yes.
I was actually trying to do proper physio.
You actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, Yang would be like, okay, don't be so serious. Like, don't need to be so serious. We'll just pray for them. You know, sometimes I get so carried away and I just continue doing physio. But anyway, we do see some very, very significant changes. I think this guy, he said he's got back pain. And I thought, well, he's got such a big belly, so the back pain's not going to go because his belly won't shrink. And that's probably the cause of the back pain. So, well, I basically told Yang to just to tell the translator to translate that you need to lose weight. And then, anyway, we prayed for him. And then he said, well, actually, the pain's gone. I was like, huh? Sure. And then Yang was like, actually, we just prayed for you. and then we started this conversation about, he's the only Christian in the family.
Yeah. He's the only non-Christian in the family.
Yeah, something like that. And so we opened up the conversation talking about Christianity and that kind of thing. And yeah, and there was another lady came in with, I think she's got arthritis, like really bad arthritis on her knees. So... Edwina came to me and said, well, actually, do you want this lady to come over? Because normally they go through triage, and then they go to medical station, and then they will tell the patient whether to come to me or not. They will basically do a referral there. So I was like, I don't think there's anything that I can do for her, but just send her through, we'll pray for her. So she sent the patient through. So I was basically dealing... Like, I was fiddling with her right knee, and then Yang was fiddling with the left knee. Literally, we're just doing this. Nothing more than this. And then we were actually just praying whilst we were doing that. And then afterwards, okay, stand up, have a walk around. And then she stood up, have a walk around, and she said, oh, I'm actually a lot better. I'm like, praise the Lord. Okay, you can leave now. We didn't actually do anything apart from praying. But wow. You can see that it's actually so powerful through prayers. Well, I would say I did contribute a little bit, probably.
I did.
If you look at other photos, I was like climbing over patients and like stretching them, doing all sorts. Yeah.
I mean, that's really amazing because you have this combination both of actually trying to provide care, but at the same time, listening to the Holy Spirit and seeing how he's leading both in the prayer. I love the story that, you know, as soon as this guy's healed, Yang's like, oh, we prayed for you. Surprise. And then the guy's like, oh my gosh, I'm the only non-Christian. Surprise. And it's this thing where God is saying, oh, see, I knew this all along. Surprise. And you get this real picture that God is putting these stories together and putting these things together, because it's those guys who are going to be staying there. You know, your medical treatment is temporary, but the impact you might make on their lives, what takes their story next is the beautiful part, and that's just really encouraging. I will say that I have some back pain. I think it might be due to overeating. Can you just pray for me so that I can lose weight? No. moving on from there, and here we have just you guys just playing, having fun time.
Yeah, this was in Benefa after the clinic in the deaf school, and then these were the kids from the deaf school there, where I think after we finished, whilst waiting for the dental clinic to finish, we thought we'd just entertain them
just
and we were entertaining.
Spend time
as
with
well.
The kids and have some fun time. That's really nice. I think that's, you know, it actually just means a lot, just being able to spend time with other people and just have a good time. Now, tell us about this. Young, were you gonna propose? What's happening?
Yep, that was what it was. So this woman, I think, went through the eye person to sort of get checked in regards to the eyes, but then she was just like, I don't think I can do anything for her, and then wanted me to check her over, and I was like, I'm not sure what else I can actually do. So what we did was in the pharmacy...
Right, so she couldn't see?
So she couldn't see. I think she had really, really sort of... I think she was nearly blind.
Okay.
Yeah. But she was a Christian. That was what we got to know. And I think when she came to us, just like, I have no idea what to do with her, really. And I was like, oh, actually, the pharmacy station is where the people praying for are actually based, so let's send them over. Let's send her over to them.
To the pharmacy.
Exactly, yeah. To the pharmacy. We had no legit pharmacist there, but it's fine. So then I think basically, Young just prayed. Young and I think there were a few others, and there was a translator there. Isabella was there as well, and they were just praying for her. And Young, doing what he normally does, you know, had his way of testing first whether she could actually see. And then after praying, I think after the first time, the second time, she wasn't seeing much still, but he was just really convicted, and he said, can I just pray for you one more time? And I think by the third time then, she actually said, actually, I can see. I think she's starting to see, like, flickers of lights and sort of starting to see slightly. We haven't got the picture here, but there was a one where he was actually posing, trying to test her whether she can see his fingers, and she managed to see at the end of like the prayers.
Right, so she could actually see by the end. Mm-hmm. So God healed a blind person. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's really amazing. You have to understand, those are really life-changing things, especially out there. I mean, here in this country, there's accesses and resources for people with low eyesight ability, but out there it's a real game changer, both for the family and just being to see them. So just really, that's really encouraging. Okay, I'm gonna throw this question out there. All right, like, so I will say, when I'm praying for people to be healed, I'm obviously not very good at this because they're still sick. But like, I pray once and it's like, oh, well, it didn't work. And I'm like, that, okay, I tried, go see a doctor. Now, I'm just curious, because Young, you prayed twice and like nothing's happening. Why don't you just say, dude, she's blind. Like, why pray a third time? I know you're not on stage. I'm just curious. Can you answer that?
A very biblical answer to blindness, actually is Jesus prayed for everyone and they got healed the first time, except the blind guy.
Right, and then they had to see the trees, people walking around looking like trees.
Yeah.
So you're doing the testing,
yeah.
And then you see, and then you press on with it.
So if Jesus had to play twice, I'm quite comfortable playing 3, 4, 5.
Okay, I will take that. That's a great answer. Yeah, if Jesus has to pray twice for something, you know something's up. Okay, cool. Very good. Evening service is the best, right? Evening service gets all the director's cut. So this is the youth, you guys, youth camps. After you guys spoke to youth camps, I'm just going to show this video really quickly of...
I'm Pastor N.P. Pradhan. This is Pastor Kesab Rana and his wife, Rupa Rana. And the Pastor Kesab is pastoring this church since 15 years. So he has a very strong testimony in this community. Actually, he himself was a demon possessed for nearly 28 years. So after when he came to the Lord and he was really healed by the Jesus now, since 15 years he's serving this church.
And they have started like three another branch churches also. So we'd like to thank you, this team from UK and our sister and brothers. They shared a very powerful testimony. We are really blessed. Please pray for us. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's one of the pastors out there, and you guys managed to go to some of these churches and some of these youth camps. You want to tell us a little bit about some of these camps?
Actually, the photo before is me doing my first...
Oh, is that actually you?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's my first ever sermon I've ever done.
Nice.
And, it's... And yeah, I'm the most immature person. <I'm> voted, <yeah. laughs> But, it was great. I don't know, I think God really spoke to me over the trip. Actually, before the camp, it was the orphanage and all that, and nothing really hit me. In fact, I was touched, I was sad about it, I was upset about it, but it wasn't, like, devastating for me. I was just, I can still pray about it. But then the other morning when we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I was praying for people and stuff, but then... All of a sudden, Ed came to me and prayed for me, and I just shocked me. God just spoke to me through her, and that was a life-changing prayer from her. Quite personal, not really comfortable.
Tell us more in detail, with specifics. No, just kidding. No, really, you don't have to.
No, actually, I can do it, but...
No, really, you don't.
It's
don't.
Just...
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm those sort of kid where I love to lie, to pretend to be another person I'm not. And I build up walls, I try to be someone else instead of myself. But then her prayer was like, God just want your story. God want you to tell your story. He doesn't want anything else. Your story was given by him. It was special enough. And just tell everyone and stop belittling yourself. And that was just game changing for me. And I don't know, because... Before this sermon, actually one of the pastors from the other team came to the hotel and asked if Yang want to do two or if his son want to do two sermons, two sessions. And neither of them wanted to do two. They were like, oh, do you want to do it? But then neither of them were really comfortable about it. Then I was like, yeah, why not? I can do it. And I just stood up and do it. And it wasn't the best sermon ever, but I think I tried and may the Holy Spirit really spoke through me and speak to the youth. Yeah.
I mean, that's really amazing. I mean, because when we're talking about it's just, you know, whatever God has done in your life and just being able to share that out, it really becomes like, well, God, I don't have very much, but this is my offering to you, and, you know, may you use it. And that really ends up being what's like when you're on the mission field, right? Like, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a preacher, I don't have very much, but God, whatever I can, whatever I've learned, just let me be used by you here. And then he does this thing where he, like, you know what it's like? It's that little boy with the loaves and the fishes. And you're like, this is all I got. And then he takes and he multiplies it into this thing. And you're like, wow, I don't deserve to be part of this story. And yet here I am. That's really encouraging.
Yeah, so I think, in fact, I think most of us saw, like, you know, from him initially being quiet, quite negative, and then, you know, suddenly just seeing the change in him. So even at the orphanage, he actually then cooked a meal for, like, 40 of us.
Oh, only 20 years old.
Exactly, only 20.
I didn't cook till.
And then, like you say, I think towards the end, so I think at the youth camp as well, so Yang preached one session, and then Lau, who's Pastor Perry's son, also preached a session. And then his one was, we say, well, in the last day, we're going to use him sort of like as a bam to hit all these teens. And I think, in fact, because he was the youngest amongst us, he probably was the one that actually could reach out and have more impact on them. Like, you know, just sharing his testimony. If anything, I think the leaders were saying it probably sort of is more applicable to them, because the rest of, I think, like, you know, the rest of them, they were preaching good sermons as well, but obviously they'll be like, oh, you know, this person is much more older, I actually may not understand what they're going through, or they don't understand what we're going through. But this was just a young guy who was just being so open about, you know, just the few days changes that God has done in him. I think it definitely did touch a lot of sort of hearts of the sort of the teens out there.
It's really amazing, actually, because for a lot of these places, there are not a lot of models of older or Christians above them, teenagers. It's very similar to the UK when we first started with the BBCs here. There were no teenager BBCs, so we had to try to find them. And then there was a whole generation that was lost. The new generation of teens never saw anyone older. They only saw the aunties and uncles and they're seeing. And you get that the same place in these places where the family might have broken down or you don't have Christian parents. So when they see someone actually closer to their age and they're like, what? You mean God is real to this person at this age, becomes very powerful. And then when they see it along a whole group, a whole spectrum of ages, it just becomes something so powerful and so encouraging. We'll look at a couple other of these videos, pictures. That's Brenda sharing. This is at one of the church services. There's a lot of women in this picture. I'm just wondering if it's a segregated.
So normally, I think, so basically church would be divided into half. So like the males on one side and females on the other side.
Like a brethren church. this is a very flattering picture. Thank you.
The power of prayer.
The power of prayer. Yeah. Do you want to say something about this?
Okay. So basically we split into four different teams to do youth camps because there were over 1,000 youth joining the camps. So that's why they split into different ones. And Paling and I and Isabella actually went to the same one. So the place called Panchkal. So when we first arrived, it was already at night, 8-ish, 9 o'clock. And then the youth coordinator, the translator, and the pastor of that church came to meet us. And then you could see their look. They were like, you guys look so young, that kind of look.
I mean, what we're saying is three fine women showed up and they're like, what's going on here?
Six of us. Yeah.
Okay,
six
right. Six okay, cool. Anyways, let's move on. Tell us, continue your story. On.
So six of us. So they were like, oh, any of you is actually pastor? And we're like, no. So church leaders, we're like, yes, sort of like church leaders, or maybe we do youth work and that kind of thing, youth leaders, and we do participate in a church, that kind of thing. So basically, I think they actually expect somebody more mature than we are because we all look very young. Yeah, so yes, including you. But then, so after that night, we had a rest, and then we actually started the camp the day after. So there were told, I think, 8 sermons in total, like 8, eight sessions, and then we took 4. And after Elliot preached the first one, so Elliot's from America, so after he preached the first session, you can actually tell that the youth leader and the translator, their attitude towards us as a team actually changed massively, and they actually started to respect us and think that, oh, we're actually, although we look young, but then we are actually, we can be mature Christians. And then you could just tell that, yeah, they are so, so different. So actually by the end of the camp, we gather around in a circle and then we were just praying together before we left that place. And they were so honest to us. And they said, actually, initially when we saw you guys, we were expecting somebody more mature. So actually from their mouth saying this to confirm what we actually felt. And they're like, but you guys really blessed the youth. And then telling us that, yeah, because those are youth, like the audience is our youth, it's a youth camp. Actually, you being youth saying this is more powerful than having somebody so mature, like 40 or 50 years old, which may not know their struggles, but then through your messages, through the testimonies that you guys shared, really bless them and bless every one of them. We're just like, yeah, praise the Lord for bringing us there as the team as we are. And do you want to ask a question?
No.
So otherwise I'll carry on. Right, talking about this photo. So basically every night we are doing like altar call and we're praying with praying for those youths. And maybe I should let you start for the prayer.
And we can both do it. So which one?
Do you want to start?
The first one,
yeah.
The York's crying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Because so we did an altar call every single night of the youth camp, which is why we were just clarifying which one we wanted to talk about. But so after the first night, so after Elliot had preached, they did an altar call. And so as with at the local churches, basically the entire youth camp got up and like rushed forward. And it wasn't like, you know, one or two people, like literally the entire youth camp rushed forward. And they were all like so desperate for prayer. They were all like running and pushing and like coming to the front and like grabbing us and like basically asking us to pray for them. And yeah, so we were, I was like conscious that there was a lot of people, so I wanted to kind of get around to loads of people. But at the same time, like I just, earlier on in the trip, I had this like, I guess, kind of revelation in me that I was like, actually, I have nothing that is of worth that I can give to these people. So God, would you just like show me how to pray for these people and show me who to pray for? And for me, like I'm someone who's very independent and really self-sufficient. So the thought of not being able to do something like actually scares me. But it was actually the most freeing thing to realize that there was nothing that I could do. It was like a moment where I was like truly, truly emptied of myself to be filled by God and to be led by the Spirit to go around and pray for people. And so like, yeah, in all the chaos, again, like I was just reminded of that. So I was just like, yeah, God, just show me who to pray for. And so I saw this girl who was crying like loads, but I saw that Yoke was actually praying for her. So then I was like, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I don't really get this. Because I was like, someone's already praying for her, God. Like, I'm not going to go do that. So then I went and did something else, and I was like, hey, God, show me who to pray for because there's so many people. And then again, like, I felt my attention being drawn to this girl, and I was like, someone's already praying for her, God. Like, can you not see? But like, I couldn't shake the feeling. So I was like, okay, I'll go. So I went over. And then turns out, York told me that she had been praying for this, because this girl like would not stop crying at all, like crying so much. I've never seen someone cry so much. And so turns out, York told me that she had been praying for her for so long that she got so tired that she decided to pray for herself and was like, God, I'm really tired. Please, can you send someone? So yeah, I started praying for this girl, but then the ministry time like wrapped up, and she was actually on the dance worship team, so she had to go and do stuff. So then I was like, you know what, if you still want prayer, we're going to stay behind and we'll pray for you afterwards, because typically we would leave after the ministry time, because the rest of it was in Nepalese, so we thought it'd be best we'd go back and rest. We stayed behind, and then York stayed behind, and then I told Sharon, and she also decided to stay behind with me. So we waited, and we weren't sure if she was going to come, and after about like 10 minutes, she came. We prayed for her, but the thing that I actually want to... we had stayed behind for her, and we prayed for her, but the thing that we want to talk about is actually the girl that came after. So then it kind of drew some attention that we had stayed behind to pray. So then this other girl came forward, with her friend, and then we were like, oh, how can we pray for you? But before we could even, before she would answer, like, she just burst into tears and started crying. So like, again, we didn't really know like what to pray for or anything. Did you want to continue the story?
Yeah. So I think Peeling asked her, so what's your problem? And then she wouldn't say. No. Okay.
What's your problem? Gosh. God, are you blind? Man, Paling's awesome. Go on. Anyways, this is the paraphrase.
We actually had the translator with us as well. So he helped to translate everything, basically. But then this girl started... Well, she fainted, actually, afterwards. So because we started praying for her, and then she just fainted, and then we realized that, oh, something's not quite right here. Because she would just shout it, and she would be like... just on the floor, and then just starting to get really, really crazy, and then actually realized, oh, she's actually demon possessed afterwards. So I mean, we three, like Failing, me and Yook, we're all from very traditional churches. We've not seen any of these before, and we're actually probably the people that is most like anxious about me like seeing and witnessing these kind of things. But then when we actually prayed for this girl, it's not like how we would normally pray. We just like turn into a different person. We just prayed. So I won't say me, like I can see them praying very powerfully and like in a very victorious way, like full of power. I would say it's not from ourselves, it's from the Holy Spirit, definitely. So we keep praying for this girl for so long, and she would try to get up and then do all sorts, but then she'll faint again, pass out. And then we would just be like, push her down, like, stay down, don't get out anymore. And then after like an hour or so of praying, you can see her eyes suddenly just changed, because previously she would be like rolling her eyes and she would be like, oh. But then she suddenly looked like a normal person again. Her eyes were bright. Yeah, her eyes were bright. And then she was like talking normally. And then we realized that, oh, actually the demon's come out already. And then afterwards the translator told us, actually, the girl said, well, actually not the girl, but through her mouth, is actually the demon that said, oh, I'm coming out now. So he told us this afterwards, and then she just woke up and being normal again.
Yeah, and like, just to add to that, like the boldness in prayer, like I think, well, I suppose I'll speak for myself, like I'm definitely someone who's a bit more on the reserve side, and the thought of like, because you know, prior to going out on this trip, we had BLI meetings up here in Birmingham, and like I remember the team kind of talking to us about praying for people and praying in boldness, and I remember sitting in that training session thinking like, nah, I can't make that prayer. That's just like, if something doesn't happen, that's just really awkward. And I'm also like a very self-aware person, and so like, I know that that was not, like those were not my words. To be able to pray in that boldness, like I still look back and I'm like that definitely was not me. Like I'm not like that. I'm unable to do that. And like I hate going up on stage. Like I just, yeah. And kind of, I think what really came to life for me is, again, it was a lesson that we had, like, well, Yang led a session on, like, healing and praying for healing, and he said, like, before looking at praying for healing, like, you first look at the position from which you pray, and that is as a son or daughter of God. And that was a concept that I could understand in my head, but for me, the struggle has always been, like, moving from the head to the heart. And I think that lesson really, really, really came to life for me, and I think for the rest of us that prayed for people out there. Like, there was not a shadow of doubt in my mind when I was praying for that girl, and I think for us as well. Like, when we were trying to cast out the demon, like, I did not think, like, what if it doesn't work? Then I just look really stupid being like, in Jesus' name, I cast you out and all of that. Like, I was like, I'm just going to look like a donut. But, like, that did not even kind of cross my mind or anything. And like, just the, like, I don't want to say courage, because it wasn't courage, like the boldness and the power that I felt in praying for that person, like, yeah, it's definitely an experience that I will not forget.
I think when, especially when we're out there and we kind of experience things that either we might have watched a bad movie about or we've read about, and we're not sure about. Yeah,
I was gonna say, I'm actually very thankful that that was my kind of experience, because, sorry to interrupt, because like, that's something that I have zero experience in. So I'm like, I'm a very skeptical and analytical and basically annoying person. And I will analyze everything. And so like, if it were anything else that I had like even an ounce of experience in, I would be like, well, I kind of contributed a bit then. But like I've never watched a scary movie in my life. Like honestly, I've never watched a single scary movie, because like, why would you pay to scare yourself? Like, and then I come from a very conservative church, so we don't talk about it. And then I've never really taken an interest to kind of research it, because I didn't want to get freaked out. So like, yeah, I have literally zero experience in it. And that's like another way that I knew that it definitely was not me. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so that's really good. I think that's kind of what we're trying to say is, because actually for most of us, our church experience is not, we don't really talk about that, we don't really know about that. But when you're put in situations where you're not sure of what's happening, actually all you can do is pray. But the amazing thing is how God actually, just in that moment, is teaching you what to pray and how to pray and where to navigate you through this. Because sometimes it is that first time where you have no preparation and then you suddenly realize, actually, God, you are bigger than I realized. There is more things that happen in this world than I realized. And you are more in control in every situation than I realized. And it's the kind of thing that really helps us to increase our faith and also say, actually, maybe we have always seen the world too narrow, or that we try to control the world too much by our own ability, as opposed to saying, actually, God, there's a reason you're sovereign. It's because you are really king overall. And that's really encouraging, really amazing to kind of hear. I think it's really great. I think you guys, it's been really just encouraging hearing all your kind of different stories and kind of what's been happening. And definitely if you guys want to talk some more with them, talk to them afterwards. You can also catch some of their journals online on Facebook, search for Bread and Life International. And I think your next trip is coming up in the Philippines. Edwin, you want to tell us?
Yep. So whoever's interested or, you know, you've been touched by this, I think it's definitely not just our stories that's touched you. If anything, I think it's God just giving you a nudge to say, you know, why don't go and try this out? You don't have to be a medic to do this, okay? Though we say it's a medical mission trip, as you can see, I was the only medic there and the rest weren't medics at all, but all were being used by God. So, you know, and I think the next trip is Philippines, June 8 to 16.
Right, and Yang's leading that. And the applications are open, so if you're curious and you want to see about getting involved and participating with that, you can get in touch with them and also see. Over the past few years, we've been getting a little bit more involved with Bread and Life International and just trying to learn about them and just encouraging people to get involved with that. As a missions organization, they're still just learning the ropes. And, you know, as our church goes, we're saying it's full of grace. Sometimes they get things right, sometimes they don't get it perfect. But really just continue to be able to grow and learn in that. So will you join me in just praying for Nepal and just continue the work there? Lord, we really lift up our brothers and sisters in Nepal. And God, it's actually really encouraging to hear about the pastors there and the churches there. And even we pray for the Korean pastors and the orphanage, Lord. We know that orphanages are complex, and the looking after the children and trying to figure out how that deals with the politics or the shifting in politics, Lord, is so difficult. Lord, I really pray that you continue to remind those pastors there that you are sovereign, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you have a great plan that is unstoppable. And that you know each of these kids and each of the people there, their hearts and their knowledge and what's going on in their life more, and that you are the Savior over them, Lord. I pray that you continue to bless the pastors there. We thank you for the powerful testimonies that they have in their lives, and we thank you for the powerful testimonies that were created from this missions trip that went out there, Lord, for the woman who can see, for the man who could now have no back pain, Lord. We pray that they can be powerful witnesses of how good you are there, Lord. Because they are still there and they are in their community, Lord. We pray for the youth, Lord, and I think we don't realize how much of the Christian ministry in this country, in the Chinese church, has been built up from the youth. And what we're seeing is in Nepal, Lord, may these youth who have had these missions, may they be inspired to be powerful witnesses and pastors and brothers and sisters in Christ for you there, Lord, that they may see that there is faith even as they grow older, that they can be a generation to replace that lost one, Lord. And we just pray that your name continues to be magnified and amplified there, Lord. And we look forward to the day when your name is just being glorified and there's a freedom to just declare your presence and your truth to all around, Lord. We pray for the missions team as they've returned. We pray that you continue to guide them as they adjust back to life here. We pray that you still let them have faith. We pray that you give them wisdom in all circumstances that they're in, to know how to pray. We pray that you continue to let them see that you are living God here too, that you don't just exist in the third world country, Lord, but you are victorious here. And I pray that they take the opportunities, as we do as well, to be part of your victory in all sorts of ways, Lord. So we thank you and we lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Should we give them a round of applause?